All right, so we're holding on Test Zion Amud Aleph, fifth line.
Zion Amud Aleph, fifth line.
The Mishnah said, Hakurdal Masrila Yotzeh Lefolo, that if somebody reads Shema backwards, out of order, we said he's not Yotzeh, and we said if a person made a mistake in Shema, then he has to go back to where he made the mistake. Okay. So the Gemara starts off with a story. Rab Ami v'Rab Asi have a kokatrin le gnona le Rab Elazar. They were tying a chuppah for Rab Elazar. In other words, they were arranging his wedding. They were all talmidim of Rab Yechon. Actually, originally Rab Elazar, and maybe they also were talmidim of Rav and Bavel. So maybe this happened while they were still the pashtus it is in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so they're preparing Rab Elazar's wedding. Amalahu, so Rab Elazar says to them, Ad hochi v'hochi, while you guys are busy getting the chuppah together, Ezel v'eshman milsa de medrasha, I will go to the Beis Medrash to hear a word of Torah that they're teaching over there. The Asi eva emalachu, and I will come back and tell it to you. You know, look, they're taking off from yeshiva for a day to help with arranging his wedding. So he offered, you know, at least this way, you shouldn't have to lose everything, you shouldn't have to miss a whole day. So I'll bring you back something that I hear in the Beis Medrash. You see, by the way, how much every moment they wanted to be able to learn Torah.
So
he went and found the Tana, the one who's repeating the Mishnayos and Braises in the yeshiva, that he was teaching the following Braise in front of Rav Yechon.
He was a Tana himself?
No, the Rolozo is an Amora. So the Tana over here is not a Tana like Rav Akiva and the Meir and so on and so forth, but the Tana, the kind that was in the yeshivas of Amoraim, who was like a living sefer, he would repeat Mishnayos and Braises by heart, Braises in particular, by heart, for the Chachamim to the Talmidei HaYeshiva to then discuss. So this Tana was teaching in front of Rav Yechonon the following statement. Karavatar, if a person is saying Shema and he makes a mistake, the Eini Yadei LaHecham Tar, he doesn't know where exactly he made a mistake, in other words, he doesn't know where he's up to, so it depends. The Emtza Perek, so Hagoy Sabach adds the words, Yachta L'Rosh, he would have to return to the beginning, but okay. The Emtza Perek, if he's someplace in the middle of one of the sections of Shema, and he's not sure where he is, Yachta L'Rosh, then he has to begin again with the beginning of that section. Because he knows, for example, he's somewhere in Vahoyim Shemaya, let's say, but he doesn't know where, so he has to start again from Vahoyim Shemaya. He knows for sure he said Shema and Baruch Shem and V'ahavta, but he's not sure where he is in Vahoyim Shemaya, so he starts over from Vahoyim Shemaya. Ben Perek L'Perek, if he's between sections and he's not sure, he knows he finished a section, but he's not sure where he's up to. So for example, so in other words, let's say for example, so he knows he finished one perek, he's going to be starting the next one, but he's not sure. Did I just finish the Ahavta and I'm supposed to be starting Vahoyim Shemaya, or did I just finish Vahoyim Shemaya and I'm supposed to be starting Vayomer? So then, Yachzor l'Perek Rishon, so you should start over again with the first break. He starts over with V'hayom Shemaya. Because again, he knows for sure that he said the whole V'ahavta. He's not sure whether he said the whole V'hayom Shemaya or whether he's continuing, or whether and should be continuing V'hayomer or not. So he begins over with the beginning of V'hayom Shemaya. Bein Ksiva L'Ksiva, and another thing, it says in this Braisa, if you get mixed up between the two Uchsavtan, you have both in Rahafta, in the paragraph of Shema, and in Vahoyim Shema, you have so he's at one of them, and he's not sure which one he's at. Yasta, b'ksiva Rishona, then he should go back to the first Uchsavtam. Same idea. So that was the Braisa, Omalei Rav Yechonon, so now Rav Yechonon says to the Tana, you should know that there's a detail within that. You should know there's a detail in that. Lo Yishonu Elo Shalei Pasach V'Laman Yubu Yemechem. That would only apply if after Uchsavtam he did not continue with the next pasuk L'man Yubu Yemechem. So he says Uchsavtam on Mezuzas Pesecha Uvisharacha, and now all of a sudden he's not sure that I just say the one from V'ahavta or that I say the one from Hayim Shemaya. Avo Pasach L'man Yubu Yemechem. But if he did already start saying L'man Yubu Yemechem, then we can assume he's in the correct place. Sorche Nokat V'Asim. Then we can assume that he follows his usual pattern, his usual habit. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains that what it means is, Rashi explains, actually, the way Rashi explains it over here is not quite so clear, and the Rashba explains what Rashi is saying. Rashi has the expression that from there until Emes V'Yativ, he wouldn't have to go back only to Emes, because the parasha is very familiar in his mouth. So what does Rashi mean by that? The Rashba understands Rashi to mean that Vayomer is a paragraph that a person is very familiar with, and therefore there's no concern that he may have gotten mixed up in Vayomer. But the Rashba says, among other things, first of all, what does that have to do with Chasavtam and Laman Yubri Mechem, Vayomer is after that. Yeah. Second of all, why would we assume that the third parasha is more familiar to him than the first two parashas? So therefore, the Rashba explains differently that what it means is, if the person stopped after Chasavtam and he's not sure where he is, okay, so he might have finished the first paragraph, he might be one pasuk before the end of the second. But if he continues, Laman Yubri Mechem, we can assume, generally speaking, how does it go? If you finish, you're getting to the end of Bahayim Shemaya, you have Uchsabdom, then you have Laman Yubri Mechem. The fact that he started Laman Yubri Mechem shows that that is probably where he is holding. So then he doesn't have to be concerned, but maybe after all, maybe I mistakenly said Laman Yubu after the Uchsabdom of Yahavta, and I should have to say over Bahayim Shemaya. No, the fact that he said Laman Yubu shows that he's just continuing with his regular habit, and therefore we can assume he did say the entire second parasha.
So when would he have to repeat the second?
Only if he is not sure within or right after Uchsavtam before starting the next pasuk, if he's not sure where he is.
Laman Yubu.
Right, but if he starts Laman Yubu, then we can assume that the fact that he said Laman Yubu shows that he's at the right place. He is indeed at the end of the second parasha. And the Rashba, the Rashba generalizes from that, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. In general, if a person says a certain word in Shema, he doesn't have to be concerned, maybe I missed words earlier than that. He can assume that up until that point, he said correctly. Now, at that point, when he's not sure, then he has to figure out where he is, and then he may have to go back. But any place else in Shema, let's say a person just said the Samtam is Dvara Eva, for example, does he have to say, yeah, but maybe I missed the word in the previous pasuk? He doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, because it would never end.
Well, obviously, a person should be saying it with a little more kavana with that, such that he doesn't have this situation. But yeah.
Does that only apply to the second paragraph?
No, it applies throughout. It applies throughout. It's just in the second paragraph. You don't have Laman Yubu in the first paragraph. But you have the same principle applies. Let's say if he says the Shinan Tam Lavanecha, he doesn't have to be concerned that maybe he missed a word in Vyahadja, right? Okay. Tosfos says also we're talking about where he's not sure where he is. If he knows for a fact that he missed a certain word or a certain pasuk, then he just has to start over from that point, not from the beginning of the parasha. Okay. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar heard all that in the Beis Medrash. He heard the Braisa, he heard Rabbi Yochanan's explanation on it. Also the Amalu, who he came back and told Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who was still getting the chuppah ready. Amrulay, they said to him, Ilu Leibanu Elu Lishmaya Davazeh, if we had come to your wedding only to hear this thing of Torah, Dayenu, it would have been enough for us. They didn't lose their day. But also actually Teshet Agadah has a fascinating explanation. He says a deeper thing in it. He has a whole explanation about how the three things that we do every day, tzedakah and davening and learning Torah, correspond to the three methods of kedushin, kesef, shtar, and bia. But then you also have chuppah, which in and of itself is not a method of kedushin, but it's something that, so to speak, more than the other ones, the kala is going to remember for a long time. So therefore, it's similar in a certain sense to you have the words of davening that a person has maybe said many times before and accepted on himself, O Malchus Shemai, many times before, and now he's kind of just saying it out of habit to the point where he says a pasuk, he says Laman Yubri Mechem, and the only reason therefore he can assume that he's in the right place is because he's continuing with his habit, and still that's enough. So they said in that case that connects very well with the concept of a chuppah. That the chuppah in and of itself is not the marriage, but it's a more long-lasting thing in memory, and therefore it's very appropriate that we heard this at this time.
Because after the chuppah,
even though you don't have the three methods of kedushin don't continue to exist on a day-to-day basis, but the chuppah does in the kala's mind.
How does that, the word dayenu here brings me to the agada, and the agada, we say dayenu,
that's a separate topic. Okay. Ask me that afterwards.
Okay.
Mishnah says, Ha'umnin, craftsmen who are working on work for a balabas, and they're kurin v'roshe'ilin, they're allowed to say Shema at the top of the tree where they're working, over v'rosh ha'nidbach, or on the top of a building. Well, because you would think there's a possibility of less kavana over there. One second. Now, when it comes to Shemana Esrei, that they're not allowed to do. That they have to get down. Because, after all, you're standing on top of a tree or on top of a newly laid row of bricks on a building, you're afraid you're going to fall. And so, therefore, when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to Shemana Esrei, you need more kavana. Therefore, you can't do that. When it comes to Shemana, as we'll see in the Gemara, you need less, you need a little less, you need less kavana. Therefore, it's okay. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. We'll see in the Gemara some details about that. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Chosan, potim kriyashma. A chosan who just got married is potter from Krishma, Laila Harishana, on the first night that he got married. We learned about this in the first parak, because there's a tirdah in mitzvah. We'll talk about it again in the Gemara. The Ad Matzoi Shabbos, all the way till Matzoi Shabbos, Imloi Osa Maisa, if he did not yet do the act of the first Be'ilah. The usual way in those days, as they got married on Tuesday night, the Sulani Fast, the Emirabi. So usually you have then the fourth night after that. So usually you have four nights after that. Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. So during those four nights, we assume he has the tirda, he has the distraction of the be'ilah, which is a mitzvah. The be'ilah mitzvah, the first be'ilah after getting married, is a mitzvah, and therefore he has that tirda. Among other things, the various Rishonim talk about the possibilities, what exactly the tirda is. Is it that he might not find a besula? Is it that there might be other issues that prevent the be'ilah from being successful? Whatever it is, during those four nights, therefore he's distracted, and he's not able to have kavana in Krishma, and therefore he's potter from it.
Up to four nights,
imloy osamaisa. In other words, let's say he wasn't able, for whatever reason, to do the first be'ilah Tuesday night, then Wednesday night he's still potter. Wednesday night he couldn't, then he's still potter Thursday night, etc. By the time we reach Motzei Shabbos, it's already 4 days after the wedding, then we say, even if he hasn't yet done the maisa, at that point, fine. I mean, by that point, they've been married for 4 days. They know each other well enough that therefore there's not so much of a tirda. Even if at that point he doesn't find her a besola, he's more likely to forego it.
Okay, but if he did the first duo,
then after that he's chayiv in kriyishma. Yeah, right. Umaisa b'Rav Gamliel should not. We'll see. By the way, we'll talk about at the very end of the parak. We'll talk about certain details in that, and we'll talk about what the halacha is about that nowadays. Okay. It happened with Rabbi Gamliel that he got married, the Kara Laila Harishana, and he said Shema on the first night. So Talmidim said to him, what's going on? Didn't you teach us, Rebbe, that the Chosin is Potter from Krishna the first night? So why are you saying Krishna? So he says to them, I'm not going to listen to you and use that heter, levatel hemeni, malchus shemayim, for the shorachas, to take away from myself, accepting malchus shemayim for even one short time. Now Tosfos therefore points out, usually when a Mishnah does something like that, it mentions a halacha and then it brings up story which seems to contradict it. Usually the Gemara will right away ask, you bring up a story which contradicts the premise you just said. You just said a chosin is potter from Krishma, and now all of a sudden you're saying that Rav Gamliel did it. But the answer, Tosfos says, what the Mishnah is telling us is if the chosin is a great person and he knows for a fact that he's going to be able to have kavana, and he's Roy Little of Hashem. He's the kind of person who is worthy of having that name, of being somebody who's such a Yorei Shemayim that he can concentrate at such a time, then he's allowed to do that.
He's not obligated.
Rav Gamliel, therefore, he's doing it as an optional thing. But he's saying, Eini Shemayel, and he's saying, you're right. Technically, I'll be Alacha, I would be allowed to, but I know that I'm able to be Mechaven, and I am worthy little of a shame. I'm somebody who it's not going to look. As we'll talk about at the end of the parak. We'll talk about the concept of yuhara, that sometimes you have a person who's not supposed to do a mitzvah in such a way that looks ostentatious.
Right.
But it depends, and then we'll see in the Gemara why in this case this doesn't apply.
But it means he doesn't want to exempt himself.
He doesn't want to exempt himself. Right. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tanya Rabbanan, ha'umnin koren v'rosha ilan v'rosha nidbach. Craftsmen, as we just said, are allowed to say Shema at the top of the tree or at the top of the row of bricks. Or Mispalalin, what about when it comes to Shemana Esrei? That they can do if they're Berosh HaZayis or Berosh HaTa'ina, if they're on top of an olive tree or on top of a fig tree, when they're working at the top of such a tree, they're allowed to even daven Shemana Esrei there. And the reason is, Rashi says, because olive trees and fig trees have a lot of branches. Most other trees, you're going to be afraid of falling, so therefore you're not going to be able to concentrate during Shemana Esrei. But these trees have a lot of branches, so therefore it's easier to stand over there and to daven Shemana Esrei and have kavana. actually Ravenu Yona adds another point also. We're going to be discussing in the Gemara now. The point is, we don't want these people to waste too much time from their work. They're being paid by the day, after all. And yeah, you have to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But Amma mentions at the end of Hilchos Tzchiras, for example, that a worker is not allowed to fritter away the time, as we're going to see in the Gemara over here soon, that even the Chachamim exempted workers from certain parts of davening and benching and whatever, in order that time is not wasted from the work. You know, time is money, even the Zuck, you know. So Rabbeinu Yonah adds that with a fig tree or an olive tree, if the Chachamim did make you get down from them to daven for an answer, it would take a while, precisely because they have a lot of branches. As opposed to a shal kol eilonis, when it comes to other branches, when it comes to other trees, they have fewer branches, so there's more of a concern that he'll fall down, so he won't concentrate, and it doesn't take that long because they have fewer branches, so it's easier to get down from them. Therefore, yodim l'mato m'spalim, therefore they have to go down off the tree and daven to an
answer. But this is still against the Mishnah that we have.
The Mishnah had mentioned generically, the Braita is telling us you should know there's a difference between different kind of trees.
So interest to have it on top of a tree, even if it's an olive tree.
If it's an olive tree or a fig tree, we're saying that they're able to, because then they're able to stand there well enough on the branches that they're able to daven with kavana. And again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the point is also that the Chachamim didn't want them to go down because they're going to be taking too much time going down. So therefore, the Chachamim allow them to daven up there, as opposed to a shav kol eilonis. All the other trees, yodim lato mispalin, they should go down off the tree and daven. Or balabayis, as far as the balabayis, not the workers, ben kach or ben kach, yod lamato mispalin. Either way, regardless what kind of tree it is, he has to go down. Or another explanation from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Manoach, is either way, whether we're talking about Krishma or Shmoneh Esrei, Yored Lamato Mispal, he has to get down off the tree and daven. L'fishein Daitim Yeshevus Olav, because after all, at the top of a tree, a person is not completely at ease. There's still a certain degree of kabana a person can have. So it's one thing, the workers will master it for them because we don't want bitul malacha. We don't want them to waste time from work. But the Balabayas himself, the employer, he's not mandated by that. He's not bound by that, so therefore better let him go down and daven. Okay, fine. So the Gemara, Romile Rav Mori brought Devas Shmuel the Rava. Rav Mori, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, pointed out the following contradiction to Rava. Who is this Rav Mori? So in many places, in most other places in Chas, it calls him Rav Mori bar Rochel. Rashi explains over here and in various other places that this Rochel was the daughter of Shmuel, the Amora. She had been taken captive by Goyim. She was raped by one of them. Then she became pregnant. Later on, while she was pregnant, this guy who had raped her, this guy, became a ger. He's called in the Gemara in a number of places Isur Giyora. And later on, Isur Giyora, meaning Isur the ger. Isur, that was his name. Giyora the ger. So Rav Mori was the son of this Rochel and Isur, but he's not called after his father's name because he was conceived when his father was still a guy. So therefore, throughout Shas, he's usually called Rav Mori bar Rochel, and here it's calling him brother Bas Shmuel, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. Anyway, he was a distinguished Talmud Chacham. Even Isur himself, when he became a ger, was a good yid after that. He's mentioned in a few places in Gemara. Anyway, so Rav Mori points out the following contradiction to Rava. We learned in the Mishnah Ha'umnim Koren Beresha Ilan of Beresha Nidrach. We said the craftsmen who are working for the Balabas are allowed to say Shema on the top of the tree or on the top of the wall, implying not only that they're on top of the tree or on top of the wall, it sounds like they're actually continuing with their work while they're saying Shema. Alma like Bori Kavana, which seems to show then that you don't require Kavana during Shema, and you're even allowed to be continuing your work while you're saying Shema. Or a mini. But I have a contradiction. A braisa says, "Akoda es shema tzarech sheichav es libo." When a person is saying shema, he has to have kavana. Shenema shema Yisrael, because here it says shema Yisrael, which means listen. And olahal and oimah haskes u shema Yisrael. We have a different pasuk. We quoted it yesterday, actually, that says haskes u shema Yisrael. Pay attention and listen, Yisrael. So we said primarily it refers to divrei Torah, but still the fact that it says there haskes ma lahal and bahaskes akan bahaskes. Just like over there haskes means pay attention. So over there, the Shema is accompanied by haskes, pay attention, af kan b'haskes, the same way here when it comes to Shema, there has to be kavana, there has to be paying attention. So they should be able to be on top of the tree, but why are we saying it sounds like they're able to actually be working up there? It sounds like they're not just staying on top of the tree, it sounds like they're actually working there on top of the tree.
And?
So how does that work? If he's supposed to have kavana, if he's supposed to have haskes. Ishtik. So Rava was quiet and he didn't have an answer. Omale, then he says to the Mori Midi Shmiel Lachabaha, Nu, and have you heard anything maybe that could answer that contradiction? Omale, so the Mori tells him, yes, Hachi Omer of Sheshis, this is what Rav Sheshis says. You're right. In fact, they can't be doing work up there. Vahusha Batalim Mimalachta and the Kurdin. This heter is only they can stay up there on top of the tree. They don't have to climb down from the tree. However, they do have to stop their work while they're saying Shema. First we assumed that when we say they're on top of the tree, we mean that they actually continue their work up there. And they're a shash.
And then they continue their work and take their Shema on top of the tree.
That was the question.
It doesn't make sense.
That was the question. In fact, the Rashash says the reason why the Gemara assumed that they're still doing the work is because, look, if they have to get down off the tree in order to daven Shemana Esrei, then they might as well get down as well for Shema. The fact that we're saying they can stay up there on the tree implies not only it's a matter of not wasting time by getting down off the tree, because that they're going to have to get down regardless. It seems to imply that while they're saying Shema, they actually can continue working. But Rav Sheshis is saying that no. Well, who should be tailing them and them occurring? No, they do have to actually stop their work and say Shema. So for that, we allow them to stop their work in it. So the question is, in the first parak on Daf Yud Aleph, we had a whole sugya on the question of Kavana and Shema, because we were discussing back and forth there, B'shama B'shilil, about a B'shiv T'chav B'shecha O'v'lachas L'adereh, and B'shilil said over there, Oisking B'malachim V'chorin, that a person can be doing his work and saying Shema at the same time. The answer is, like Kasha, Hav B'perek Rishon, Hav B'perek Sheni. There's a difference between the first parak of Shema requires Kavana, and the second parak does not. First of all, you have like this. We discussed the other day, there's a machlokas rishonim, which we haven't really gotten into, but there's a machlokas rishonim, what parts of Shema are daraisa? There is an opinion of rishonim that actually only the first pasuk is daraisa. We had at the beginning of the parak that Rebbe would say only the first pasuk.
Right.
And so you have, the rishonim learned that the entire first parak is daraisa. So the third parak everybody agrees is not daraisa, because that's only in order to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So technically, as long as a person says something else that mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's yotzei. That's my focus, whether only the first pasuk or the entire first parak or the entire first two parakim are daraisa. Anyway, the point is, so one way of looking at it, our Gemara that's distinguishing between Perek Rishon and Perek Sheni, Tosfos says over here that here we're dealing according to Rava. Now, Rava himself said a few days ago that you really only need Kavana to be Yotze in the first pasuk. So therefore, that would mean that when we say here Perek Rishon, we don't literally mean the entire first Perek until of Isharacha, but rather we would mean only the first pasuk that they have to stop for.
And on top of a tree, you need Kavana for all three of them.
No, one second. What we're saying, we're not distinguishing between on top of a tree and not. We're distinguishing between whether they're doing work or not. So according to Tosfos, what the Gemara is saying over here is that the Gemara is saying over here, Perek Rishon, Perek Sheni, but really the distinction would be between the first pasuk and everything else. The first pasuk, they have to stop working. As soon as they finish the first pasuk and Baruch Shem, then they can continue working and say the rest. Most of the other Rishonim do not learn that way. They say there's a difference between the kind of kavana that we said before, that the halacha is you need only the first pasuk, versus not working during it, which then it would be making it arai, then it's like making that, Masa Shemayim is a casual thing. So they say that, in fact, you have to stop malacha during the entire first paragraph. And that, in fact, is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The whole first paragraph, till the Visharach. So you have to, so as far as Kavana, it's true, as far as thinking of the meaning of the words, you only need that in principle in Pasuk Rishon. I mean, ideally, of course, you should have later on, but if you didn't have after Pasuk Rishon, then you're still Yotze. But as far as not working, that you have to not work during the entire first paragraph. Okay. So that's what it is then. So the Mishnah that implies that they stay up there and they continue working is talking about beginning from Vahoya and Shemaya.
Can you walk and say the first paragraph?
So as far as walking, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is, if I remember correctly, walking you have to stop for the first pasuk. After that, I think it says that after the first pasuk you're allowed to continue walking. I'm not quite sure about that though. Okay. I'll see if I can find it quickly. But okay. Anyway. All right. Let's go on. Turn it up on them. Hatpoilin shahayu oisin malacha eto balabayis. Workers who are working by a balabayis. Current Krishna, they say Shema, as we said, and they do say the brachas before and after Shema, that because again they can still be working during that time, so therefore it's not such a waste of time from work, not waste of time to daven, whatever, shouldn't it's not really the right way to say it, but whatever, it's not taking off more time from work than is necessary. So they say the brachas before and after. But urchin piton mevorchim lefanero lacharea. When they eat their food, they say the brachas before and after it. Umispalim tefillah shel shemana esrei. And when it comes to shemana esrei, they do say shemana esrei. All of these things are things that they're required to do, even though they're working. Even though they're working, they still have to stop their work in order to do that. Avol en yodin lefnat keva. But when they're there on the job, they don't daven by the amud. They don't appoint a chazan to daven by the amud, even if there's more than 10 of them. The ein nursing kapehem, and they don't duchen, because those kinds of things, they don't have rishus to take time off their work in order to do that. That's too much bittul malacha. So the question is, Valtanya me'en yurches, what do you mean? You have another braisa that says they don't daven the full shemana esrei, they just daven me'en shemana esrei, which is Me'en Shemana Esrei is something we're going to learn about in the fourth parak called Havinenu. Is a single paragraph. I think we talked about it briefly before. Is a single paragraph that includes in it a phrase representing each of the 13 middle brachas of Shemana Esrei. So you say the first three brachas, then you say this paragraph Havinenu, and then you say the last three brachas. So what it says in Shulchan Aruch, to answer your question, is yes, if he's walking and he has to say Shema, he has to stand for the first pasuk. So then he can continue walking. But when it comes to work, that you have to stop for the whole first paragraph. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So anyway, so Valtanya Me'en Yudches, we say in another braisa that they only daven Me'en Yudches, only Havinenu, in order not to take more time than necessary. The answer is Amar Rav Sheshes, like Tasha, Harav Gamliel, Harav Yeshua. It depends which opinion we're talking about. Later on, when we talk about Havinenu in the fourth paragraph, we have Rav Gamliel says that every day a person has to daven full Shemana Esrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says the person can daven Havinenu. So therefore, the first braisa that says they daven full Shemana Esrei is according to Rav Gamliel, and the second one that they say that they daven Me'en Shemana Esrei is Rabbi Yeshua. So the question is either Rabbi Yeshua, if the second braisa is according to Rabbi Yeshua, my Iri Polim, why bother mentioning the case of workers after the Kol Adam Nami? He says anybody can daven Havinenu.
That's right.
Okay, Tosfos says the fact is everybody else would have Rishus. Polim were saying we're required to. But still, Tosfos says the fact is if we would say that everybody can daven Havinenu on a regular basis, then there's no question that Polim would have to do it even the Hatzilah in order not to take more time off work. But if we say it, how can it be according to Rabbi Yeshua? Rather, we can say that both braises are according to Rav Gamliel, but like Tasha, there's no contradiction. The braisa that says that they daven Me'en Shemana Esrei, that they daven Havinenu, is where they're working for an actual salary. So in other words, they're getting meals, and also they're getting paid a salary. They're getting paid a wage for the time that they spend there. So therefore, they can't be taking extra time to be davening full Shemana Esrei, and therefore they daven Havinenu. As opposed to when all they're working for is that they're going to be given food, then we're not worried so much about wasting time, because then their time is not really money. Then they're not getting paid for their time anyway. So then let them down in full Shemana Esrei. Okay. Vaha Tanya, and indeed we see in a braisa such a distinction that there's a difference between whether they're getting paid for an actual salary versus when they're just getting food. And the difference is, the braisa says, "Polim shall yoisin malacha eitzam balabayis." Workers that are doing work by a balabayis, koren krishma, they say shma umispalin and they daven shemana esrei. Va'ochin pitam, they eat their food. The ein mevorchim lefanel, they do not say the bracha before it, unlike the previous braisa where we said that they do. Although the rif and the rosh have the girsa over here umevorchim lefanel that they do say the bracha before it. So therefore, so far it would be the same as the first braisa. But when it comes to the after bracha, when it comes to benching, then they do bench after it, because benching is the araisa. But with avon mevorchen lacharel shtayim, but they only say two brachas of benching after it, even though benching usually consists of four brachas. But in this case, they say only two. Case that. What does that mean? Why do they do? How do they do two brachas? Bracha rishona ketikuna. The first bracha they say exactly as is. They don't shorten it. They don't nothing. The Ritzvah says the reason is that bracha was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore the Chachamim didn't want anybody to shorten it. Shnia, when it comes to the second bracha, they don't say the entire second bracha and the entire third bracha. Paseach b'birkas ha'aretz, they begin with the bracha on the land, as we do, no delacha Hashem alakenu, ashrein chabal avetenu. But kolin boni yushalayim b'birkas ha'aretz, they combine together the topic of the bracha of Bonu Yerushalayim in Birchas Haaretz. So in other words, they say one bracha that combines the themes of the second and third brachas of benching. The second bracha about thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, and so on and so forth. And the third bracha, which asks for Hashem to restore Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. So they combine those two into one bracha, right, instead of saying so they shorten the Nusach. And that's it. They don't say the fourth bracha. Tosfos says over here, even though these brachas are daraisa, but the chachamim have the ability to be oiker, to tell us not to do something min haTorah where appropriate. And over here, it's appropriate because otherwise, again, they're taking time off work. So the question of how much of benching is daraisa and not is a little bit open. And in fact, when we talk about in the seventh parak, we're going to talk about the dinim of benching. We're going to get further into that. The question of exactly how much of benching is daraisa and how much is derabanan. One point is that some rishonim make is even if you say like Tosfos is saying over here that all the brachas are minatora, the nusach of them is surely not minatora, and therefore the chachamim have the ability to tell them to shorten the nusach. Anyway, continues the braisa. Bamer dvarim amurim, when is all this talking about? The oisin b'scharan, when they're being paid a salary. Aval oisin b'sudasan, but if they're doing work just for their food. Or if the Balabais himself is sitting and reclining and eating with them, then obviously he's showing by that the extra time that they're taking is not so critical to him. Therefore, then they say benching properly, all four brachas the way we say it. Now, this halacha, for the most part, does not apply nowadays, because nowadays, in general, an employer, whether it's a Jewish employer or a Lahavdil, it's a Goyish employer, they know that a person needs a certain amount of personal time. And when it comes to a Jewish employer, they know that you have to take time to daven and bench and whatever. And therefore, this whole concept really doesn't apply nowadays. So even a worker is being paid a salary, it's assumed, it's understood that to begin with, he's being given enough time when he's given a lunch break, for example, long enough to actually be able to dive in and to actually bench properly.
Well, not only he knows, but usually he deducts the time.
Well, the point is, right, you're given a lunch break. You're being paid for an 8-hour workday, for example, and it's understood. Within the 8-hour workday, there's a 1 hour or a half hour, it is, or whatever, lunch break, which is long enough for you to be able to bench properly. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Chosin Potter Mikrishma. We said a Chosin is Potter from Krishma. Until up to four nights if he hasn't yet had Be'ilas Mitzvah. So here we're going to repeat a piece of Gemara that we had on Daki Aleph, Tanan Abonin. V'shiv techa b'veisecha, when the Pasuk says, when you sit in your house, that means praf l'osik b'mitzvah, as opposed to a person who is involved in doing a mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to ask soon where we see from the word v'shiv techa b'veisecha that it has anything to do with being involved in a mitzvah. Uvelech techa b'aderech praf l'chosin, when it says uvelech techa b'aderech, then it means as opposed to a chosin. So we said, in other words, that there's an osik b'mitzvah, the kind where saying Shema would interfere with doing the mitzvah, for example. And then we would say, in other words, that a regular osik b'mitzvah is there's tirja, he's actually occupied with something else, as opposed to a chosin. It's not really occupied with something else. It's just a matter of his thought that he's distracted. So therefore, you need a separate limud for the chosin. Mikan Omra, Kernis is a Basula Potter. Based on this, the Chachamim said that a man marries a Basula, then he's Potter, as we said in the Mishnah. That's Almona Chayiv. But if he marries an Almona, then he has no Ptur and he's Chayiv and Shema even the first night. So the question is, my Mashma, where do we see from the words B'shiv T'chav V'Seicho V'Las T'chav Aderech that it has anything to do with mitzvahs? Amara Papa, Ki Derech. Because the point is that the Pasuk is comparing it to a person walking on the road. Ma derech reshus, just like walking on the road is optional. A person is not required to travel on the road. He's doing it for his business, or he's doing it for whatever personal reasons or whatever. Apochanami reshus, the same way. When is a person chayiv in shema? Only if he's involved in divrei ha-reshus, not if he's involved in a mitzvah. The question is, the Gemara says, why? Who says a person could very well be walking on the road for a mitzvah? And even so, the Torah is saying he has to say Shema. So maybe there is no Torah for an Osik mitzvah. Maybe it means when you're walking on the road, regardless what that walking on the road is for, whether it's for a mitzvah or not.
If you go to a chuppah for a mitzvah.
Let's say. The answer is, right. The answer, right. Well, going
you're
to a chuppah. Your own, right. Right, but no, again, so one second. Rashi had made the distinction earlier on Daf Yud Aleph between the regular Osek the Mitzvah, where he's actually involved in something that involved doing a Mitzvah. So right now, then, we can't expect him to drop that and do Shema. As opposed to with the Chassid, he's not actually doing something right now that prevents him from saying Shema. We're talking all there is there's tirda. There's mental distraction because he's concerned about the question, is she going to be a Besula? Is the beer going to go well or whatever? So therefore,
and he's going to the Chuppah, isn't he involved in his mind is not preoccupied by the chuppah itself. Is it going to be okay?
Maybe, but then in that case, no. But again, oisik b'mitzvah, this that we say oisik b'mitzvah, we're talking about somebody who's actually right now engaged in doing a mitzvah. So right now he's engaged in doing a mitzvah, so therefore he's potter from Shema. That's the point. Rashi says it's one thing when the person is actually engaged in a mitzvah. We just said before that for the first parasha he has to stop doing whatever he's doing and say Shema, so he doesn't have to do that. But when it comes to the chassan, he's not right now engaged in the actual mitzvah. Even if he's going to the chuppah, on the face of it, he could still say Shema while he's walking. But the point is, okay, so the question is that...
Let's say the Moav goes to a bris.
Okay, so...
You cannot say it's the bris right now, but don't you think he's involved in thinking about the bris?
Maybe.
The instrument?
Maybe, but that's what the Gemara is going to end up saying. In other words, hold on, we're going to say that there's a certain kind of tirda that passes him. Right. Anyway, the point is, though, that we're saying that when it says, which is the left of Chabadera, it could just as well mean a person is walking on the road for a mitzvah as he's walking on the road for the shul. What makes us think that there's any distinction?
Okay.
The answer is, in Cain, if that was so, if the Pasuk meant that regardless, as when you're walking for any reason, then you're Pasuk, Lema Krab the Lech. Then the Torah could have said, Velechas Baderech, when going on the road. My Velechtecha, what does it mean when it says when you go on the road, or literally Velechtecha actually is better translated, in your going.
Right.
In your going, implying Shmamina Velechas Nidachu de Machayves, only when it's your going. That you're going for your own personal matters or your business or whatever. Who the mechayves? Only then are you chayv and shema. Hold the mitzvah. Okay, that's implying. But if it's not b'lachtecha, it's not your going. It's rather Hashem's going because Hashem is telling you to go. Then you pass it from shema. And then in the first paragraph, we mentioned the same thing. B'shiv techa b'veisecha. It's the same thing. It could have said b'shevas b'veisecha. Instead, it says b'shiv techa. So same thing. We learn only when it's your own personal sitting. Only when it's your own personal sitting, the shittacha, your own personal sitting, or the lachacha, your own personal going, then you're potter. Then you're chayim, but otherwise you're potter. Okay.
Which implies the shittacha.
So therefore, in other words, when you're oisik b'mitzvah, then you're potter. So the question is, ihachi, so now if you're going to say that, if we assume it's a matter of tirda, if you assume that it's a matter of that he can't be mechaven, then I understand. But if we're saying that it's a matter of a mitzvah, my Uriah Kurnis is a b'sula, why mention specifically the case where he's marrying the b'sula? After the Kurnis is Amona Nami, wouldn't the same thing apply for an Amona as well? The first Be'ila is a mitzvah with her also. The answer is, we do have to bring back in the matter of tirda. Hocha torid v'hochalai torid. The difference is, by Besula, he has tirda. He has the mental tirda of, is she going to be a Besula? Is the Bia going to be successful or whatever? Whereas with an Almana, she's already had Bia before. She's not a Besula. Therefore, there's less concern about that everything will go well. There's a difference. So the question is, imishum tirda. Okay, but now if you're assuming that it's a matter of tirda, so now, in other words, the Gemara is assuming at the stage of the argument, that after all, it's not a matter of mitzvah or not mitzvah at all. It's a matter of tirda or not tirda. Well, then, in that case, the same thing should apply if his ship sank, where he has tremendous mental tirda over the fact that he just lost a fortune. In that case, why does Rabbi Abba Zavda say in the name of Rav? Even an oval where there's more of a mitzvah than mourning over a lost ship, but even a mourner who's oval over one of his relatives is chayev in most of the mitzvah, in all the mitzvahs that it says in the Torah, including Shema, chutz min atzvilin, with the exception of tefillin, shayinem and peir, because tefillin are called peir, are called glory. Shayinem peir chavay shalach, as in the pasuk in Yechezkel, wear your glory on yourself. So an oval is not supposed to be wearing something glorious, because as Rashi says over there on Daf Yud Aleph, he's wallowing in the dust, he's wallowing in the dirt because of his star, so therefore it's not appropriate for him to be wearing the glorious tefillin. But other than that, he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs. So it's a good one. So therefore, so we see that so just because a person has tirda doesn't pater him from Shema. So why are we saying Nach Chosin is potter on the grounds of Tirda. The answer is Amri. The answer is Chosin. Tirda de Rishus. Hocha Tirda de Mitzvah. When it comes to Avelus, it's a Tirda de Rishus. The fact that he's feeling distracted and unable to concentrate is more of a Rishus. He has a mitzvah. He has an obligation to be an Ovel, but that doesn't the fact that it affects his mental state, that's more of an optional thing. That's more of a thing that depends on the person. As opposed to over here, the Tirda is part of the mitzvah. And therefore, there's a mitzvah for him to have the be'ilas mitzvah, and the tirda is an essential part. It's a normal thing. The tirda is a part of it, and therefore, so in other words, the maskana is that you need both. There needs to be a mitzvah, and there needs to be tirda.
So, what compares to the mitzvah of a chatan, the chatan of the first be'ila, in terms of tirda and?
So, therefore, we're saying any osik mitzvah when he's osik mitzvah and saying Shema would hinder him from continuing the mitzvah. For example, he's doing something which if he has to break from it for Shema, then it's time that he can't get back and the mitzvah is not going to get accomplished as fully. So we had the other day, for example, we talked about, let's say if you have people who are digging a grave. So we said that they're an example of osik mitzvah. We said they're positive. Shema and tefillah.
That's very unique. I'm talking about in everyday.
In everyday life, you don't necessarily have that heter as much. But you do. But where you have, then you have. I don't know how much you have it nowadays. I mean, we have to, again, this that we're saying about the chosin, okay, I may as well mention it now. I mean, well, I was going to talk about it at the end of the parak. But this din about the chosin that he's positive the first couple of nights, really that's not so applicable nowadays. Because nowadays, when people say Shema, in general, they don't have that level of kavana anyway. So there it's the other way around. In the Mishnah, we were saying, and in the Mishnah and in Tosfos, we were saying that ordinarily a chosin should not be saying Shema. And we were saying Rav Gamliel was an exceptional person. He was able to have kavana, and therefore he has the right to say Shema. Nowadays, it's almost the other way around. But in other words, the point is, nowadays, it's almost the other way around. Nowadays, the average person does not have so much kavana in Shema. So on the contrary, if a chosin were to not say Shema, it would amount to saying, look at me, I'm so great that usually I have such kavana, and now I'm distracted and I can't. So therefore, that heter doesn't really apply anymore, because it would be a matter of yuar, or it would be a matter of being ostentatious, and then showing off how much usually he has kavana, and therefore that now he can't get. Okay, since we mentioned something unusual that Rav Gamliel did, different than the usual halacha, again, because we said, and he was entitled to, because he is able to have kavana even under such circumstances, so the Mishnah continues with a couple of other things that Rav Gamliel did out of the ordinary, which is something to master now. Rochas Laila Harishin Shemesa Ishtai. On the first night after his wife died and was buried during the day, that night he bathed. Well, maybe not bathed his whole body, maybe only part of his body, but whatever. Amru loy tamidim, so tamidim, and hot water is the point. And an oval usually is not allowed to do that. Amru loy tamidim, so tamidim said to him, what's going on? Rebbe, you taught us that an oval is not allowed to wash in hot water like that. Amru lahem, he says to them, any kishab bnei adam, I'm not like any regular person. Istinus, and I am a delicate person, and he would have tsar if he doesn't wash himself. So the whole reason a person is not allowed to wash during the days of his avelus is only because of taimuk, not to have pleasure. But here it's not a matter of pleasure. Here it's a matter of, if he has tsar without the bathing, but then he would be allowed to.
1 second, you can have tsar without having it, and when you get it, it brings taimuk.
That's fine. But the fact that it causes tsar, therefore makes it allowed. And you have, the choice just points out, a couple of other practical things that come from that, from other things. For example, a woman who just gave birth and is allowed to bathe in hot water during the Shiva for the same reason, because otherwise it would be tsar for her, even on Tisha B'Av, whatever. The point is, when it's for tainug, it's not allowed, but when it's in order to avoid tsar, then it's allowed. Rabbeinu Yonah actually brings from Rabbeinu Hanano, who wants to say that he would have been a sakana. No, but Rabbeinu Yonah says, we're not talking about sakana, we're just talking about tzad. Okay. Uchshemes Tovi Avdoi, when Tovi, Rabbeinu Gamliel's slave, died, Kibul Olaf Tanchumin, Rabbeinu Gamliel accepted comfort on his behalf. In other words, accepted Nichum Avelim. In other words, you know, he sat down there after the Shiva, and people are filing by and saying, I'm Mokim Yenachem Eskem. Didn't you teach us, Rebbe, that you don't do that for Avadim? He says to them, Ein Tovi Avdi Tishav Kol Avadim. Tovi, my slave, was not like all the other Avadim. Kosher, he was a kosher person. He was a Tamar Chacham, we find in various other places in Shas. And therefore, in this case, I'm going to be accepting Tanchum. Okay. Getting back, we'll expand on that point a little bit in the Gemara. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Chosen, getting back to the din of a chosen from the previous Mishnah. Im roitza likris kriyashma laila harishin. If he wants to say Shema on that first night, we said he's potter because it's a period of the mitzvah. But if he wants to, kore, then he could say it. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lema loy kol roitza likalot Hashem. Not everybody who wants to take this name of that I'm such a careful person that I want to always be makabel olmach hashemayim yitzel should take it. In other words, there's a problem of yuhara. There's a problem of, again, that he's being ostentatious and showing off, look how much of a yore shemayim I am. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says he shouldn't necessarily be doing it. Rav Gamliel is one thing. Everybody knew who Rav Gamliel was, but not necessarily the average person. So we'll get to you tomorrow, Beth Hashem. We'll get to you on your Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to have a short sugya on this question. When do we say that Yuhara is an issue, and when do we say that not? Okay. Getting more sorts of. My time is Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel, so to be not Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why indeed did Rav Gamliel hold that he's allowed to bathe in hot water, to wash himself in hot water on the night after his wife passed away? Because he holds Aninus Lila Dirabonim. This that a person is still considered an oinin the night after the misa, he holds is only dirabanan. In other words, there is a concept of aninus daraisa, but Rav Gamliel holds the night after the death. So you have, in other words, she passed away, let's say, on a Tuesday during the day. Right. We're talking Tuesday night.
Right.
So, in other words, this that he's an oinen and is potter for most mitzvahs on Tuesday during the day, that is daraisa. But is he still considered an oinen, and therefore right. also to bathe that night? That is only drabbanon. So it's only drabbanon. That's
according
to the older Rashi refers to Gemara in Zvachim that says exactly a machloekas over there whether it's daraisa or drabbanon. Rav Gamliel holds it's drabbanon. Therefore, dechtiv v'achrisa kiyomar, because you have an expression in the pasuk, the end of it is going to be like a bitter day. So they say, so we see that from that the aninus, the intense avelus, is only during the first day.
What is the pasuk
for? It's a pasuk from Amos. It's referring to what's going to happen when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, when the Jewish people are taken into Golos, whatever. The point is, in other words, that the expression is v'achrisa kiyomar, the end of it will be like a bitter day. So we see only the day. Over Mokhamistin, it's like Gosu Bein Abonim. So therefore, when it comes to someone like Rav Gamliel, who's an Istinist, who's a delicate person, then the Abonim are not Gozer to extend Aninus to the night. Tosfos brings up the point, couldn't we have said that maybe it is actually Daraisa, but Daraisa you only have that an Oinen, but the night after the death is not allowed to eat Maiser, but he's allowed to do other things. The whole concept of not bathing during Avelus is only the Rabbanon. Most of the dinim of Avelus are only the Rabbanon. Tosfos says, the fact is, we know that the Rabbanon usually, when they make their Takonis, they usually make them parallel to the din Daraisa. So if Daraisa, the Isser of Maiser Sheni for an Onan applied by the day and the following night, then they would have said, when they made the Isser of Rechitza, they would have made it by day and by night as well. So therefore, that implies...
Well, they could have done both. So whether they could have extended it or just kept it like the term.
Right. So the point is, in other words, therefore, this proves that Aninus Laila itself is the Rabbanon, and therefore, yes, the Rabbanon extended the dinim of Rechitza to that, but not in the case of an Isser. Okay, you have other Rishonim learn actually differently, that maybe indeed, that maybe when we say Aninus Laila Dirabanan, we don't mean the actual Aninus itself by night, could very well be Dirabanan, but that the whole concept of bathing, of an onion being also to bathe, is Dirabanan. Okay. Anyway. We said in the Mishnah, Shemes Tovi Abdev, when Tovi, his slave, died, then he accepted Tanchumim for him. So the Talmudim said, didn't you teach us that you don't? And he said, Tovi is different. By the way, it's brought, when we say Odom Kosher Hoya, it's brought, I think in Gilgul in the Shamas, or I forget what
they call that one.
Well, yeah, but actually it says that he was a Gilgul of Kodesh, Melech Kosher Hoya, the Gemara says, he was originally a good king, but then he went bad. Kodesh, they're the first king, there's more than one Kodesh. There's the one who was the first king of Kodesh after they conquered Babel, and then there's later on the one who was the son of Esther. Anyway, it's brought that he was a Gilgal of his, because like he in the end messed up. He might have called it in Rosh Hashanah, then now he came back again, and he lived it out his life at Kosher. Anyway, so Tanan Abonim. Avodim u'shvachas, ein oimdin aleim bashura, you don't stand in a row for them, like this after a person comes, when you're coming back from the cemetery after the burial, you make a row of people, and the oval walks down the row, and they comfort him, they say, hamakim minach meshem. You don't do that for an eved or shivcha, knani, that is. The ein oimdin aleim dirchas aveilim v'tachomei aveilim, you don't say for them the special bracha that aveilim say after the sudat havra, after the first meal, after the funeral, the Tanchumim Avelim, and you don't do the regular Tanchumim of Hamakim Minachem Esrei. And in fact, Tosfos says, Sataka, why not? Okay, you don't have to, but why shouldn't you? The reason is, Tosfos says, because people then may mistakenly think that this person was not an Eved, he was a regular Yid. People are going to think, therefore, that his children are legitimate Jews, and they're not going to realize that they're not. They're Avodim and Shvachos, respectively. So therefore, don't do that. So it happened once that Rabbi Eliezer's maidservant, and Shifach Nanis, died. Nichnasu Talmidim L'Nachmai, and the Talmidim came to his house to be Menachem Avos. Kivin Sherah, because they didn't realize. Kivin Sherah Oysam, when he saw them, and he realized they're coming to be Menachem Avos, and the fact is you're not supposed to. Ola La'aliyah, he went up to the second floor of the house, like to get away from them. But Ola Achrav, they still came up after him. Nichnaslan Pilon, so then he went into the foyer of the house, the entryway of the house. Nichnasu Achrav, and they still came in there after him. Nichnas the Traslin, he went into the main room, into the living room. Nichnasu Achrav, and they still came after him. Amalahem, he says, listen, you're not getting it. Kimudumani, here I was thinking, Shatim Nichnas the Poshkin. I was thinking that you'll even be burnt by lukewarm water. In other words, I'll give you a slight hint by going with Nichnas, means burnt. Burnt. I thought that you would be burnt, scalded. Beposhrim with warm water. In other words, I thought that all I needed to give you a little bit of a hint by going into the foyer of the house, and then you'll realize already that I'm trying to get away from you, and you're not supposed to be Menachem Avol. But now I see you're not scalded even by really boiling hot water. In other words, no matter how many hints I give you, you're not getting it. Loi kachshem, you see lachem. Didn't I teach you as follows? Avodim u'shvachos ein emdim alayim b'shura, that you don't stand on them in the shura. Ein emdim alayim b'yukas avelim v'loi tanchomei avelim. So you're not Menachem Avol. Ela ma oimim alayim. What do you say when a person's eved or shivcha dies? You say to him, kashem shayim loi ladim al shura ba chamer shemesu. Like when a person's ox or donkey dies, hamokim alayim alayim v'chokha shremcha, Hashem should fill in your loss. In other words, the fact is, we said as you don't say hamokim minachem eschem. Again, because Tosfos said you don't want to be malo liyuchdin, so you say like you would for your person's car crash, you say to him, "I'm walking malachas renta." So the same thing, you say, "I'm walking malachas renta." I'll say, "Top omen life, I'll argue about shivchase." So you say to a person about his eved or his shivcha, "I'm walking malachas renta." May Hashem refill your loss. Okay. Yeah. Tanya idach, we learn in another brayta, avodim u'shvachas ein masbidin oisan, an eved or a shivcha, you don't say a hesped for them. Rabbi Yossi says it depends. Im Eved Kosher Hu, if he was a kosher, and we don't mean a kosher of the caliber of Tovi or the Tamin Chacham, we just mean a good honest working Eved. Oyvim Olav, they say they should say on him, Hoi, woe, Ishtov, that was a good man, Venaman, and trustworthy, Venan and Yigei, who enjoyed his labor, and he worked hard for a living. Amrulay, the Chacham told him, don't say that for Avodim. Im Kain, my Nachal of Tredim. If that's what you're saying as a hesped for Avodim, what are you leaving over for the regular people? And in fact, Marsha points out, the word Nanam Yigir is very inappropriate for an Eved, because technically it's not, an Eved works for his master, and his master feeds him, but technically, Al Pi Halacha, there's no connection between those two things. Technically, the master is allowed to say to the Eved, you have to work for me, but I'm not obligated to support you. You go around and collect tzedakah from people. He's allowed to up the halacha. It's not necessarily a good idea, but he is allowed up the halacha. So therefore, in principle, therefore, whatever the master is giving the Eved is a chesed. So it's inappropriate to say on him, nanim yigia, he enjoys his living for the food of another. He's an Eved. He was bought. So yeah. Turn on a button. We learn on a bright. So continuing, we're going to relate back to this topic. Ein koden ovos elo l'shloisha, we only call ovos, so the Jewish people, only three, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ein koden imos elo l'arba, and when it comes to calling imos, we call only four, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. In other words, for example, we do not call the Shvatim ovos. So the question is my time, but why not? Ilema mishim delo yadinan imir Reuven kastinan imir Shimon kastinan. Is it because we don't know what Shevet was from? We might be from Shevet Reuven, might be from Shevet Shimon. So we can't call, for example, Reuven Avinu, because it's not necessarily our father. Nu ihachi imoiz nami. You could say the same thing about the imoiz. Lo yadinan imir Rachel kastinan imir Leah kastinan. Nu, we don't know whether it was from the Shvatim of Rachel or of Leah either. Now, Ela ad hocha chashivi. Ela ad hocha chashivi. No, the reason is, only up to there are they considered important. After that, they're not important enough to be called Avinu or Imenu. Now, what are we talking about? First of all, the Ritva says we're talking primarily in davening. And when it comes to other, when it comes to other things, when it comes to other purposes, yes, you can call other people Avinu and Imenu. We have, for example, Abisenu with Mitzrayim, for example, or the other such thing. But when it comes to davening, then specifically we should only be referring to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as Avinu, and only Sarah, Rachel, Rachel, and Leah as Imenu. So even if we have reason to mention the Shvatim and davening, for example, we don't call them Avinu. That's actually Hashgacha Pratis, that today, where it's the beginning of Parshas Va'era, in Torah Earth, the beginning of our parasha, the Alter Rebbe discusses this point of Ein Koren Obas Elo L'Shloisha and Ein Koren Imaus El Laba. The gist of it is every person has to have within themselves the midos and the aspects of the three Obas and of the four Imaus. So therefore, in that sense, they're everybody's father and mother to every yid, as opposed to the Shvatim, each Shevet represents some other thing, but not necessarily does everybody have within them the power of all the Shvatim. A person can have, you know, whatever Reuven represents for Ruchnias. Not necessarily does a person have an inner Reuven. Not necessarily does a person have an inner Shimon. But every person has an inner Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and an inner Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And therefore, in that sense, only they are the Avos and the Imahos.
So what is more important? Is it the Midos of the three others, or the Midos of Aaron Shevet?
In other words, it depends on what level you're talking about. There's a level where everybody has Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then individually, one person is Reuven, one person is Shimon, etc. So what are you talking about? Which one is more important? It's not a question.
Which one weighs more in a person?
I don't know. That's a good question. But the point is, in other words, that everybody has and has to have within them the powers of the others, and there, that's what we say. V'ayrael Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'ayrael others, as Rashi says. So everybody has. Why are only they the others? Because only they is something that every yid has.
But we're not saying that.
We're not saying that the Shvatim are unimportant.
We're not saying the what?
We're not saying the Shvatim are unimportant, and we're not saying the power that a person inherits from his ancestor, the Shevet, is unimportant, but it's a different level. It's something that's specific to him, or specific to his Shevet, not something that's general to the Jewish.
So the power of the others is, in a way, greater.
Yeah. Okay, Tanya Idach, then we learn in another Braita. Avodim u'shvachas ein koronos am abba plenis v'ima plenis. When it comes to avodim and shvachas, you don't call them abba so-and-so and ima so-and-so. Now, what does that mean? It actually says we're not talking about their own children. What we're talking about is in those days, they used the word Abba and the word Ima like the way we use Mr. and Mrs. Right? As titles of respect. So you don't use those titles for Avodim. And the reason is, before she say, because then you have the problem. A person calls an Eved Abba, whatever. People are going to think that he's the Eved's actual son. And they're going to think that his Yuchten are no good. On the other hand, Bashoram Gamliel, how you coroner some Abba Plenty of Ima Plenty. On the other hand, the Avodim and Shvachas of Ram Gamliel's household, they did call them Abba so and so and Ima so and so. So you might ask Michael, what are you telling me? A story that contradicts what we just said? We just said you're not supposed to do that. The answer is Mishum Dachashivi. The Avodim and Shvachas of Ram Gamliel's household were very important. Even if they're not of the caliber of Tavi, they were important enough that everybody knows who they are, and therefore there's no problem that they're calling them Abba or Ima. People are going to mistakenly think that.
Why
were
they so important?
Because Ram Gamliel himself was a Nasi, so therefore his Avodim also naturally are on a higher level than the average Eved. You have an expression, and there are a few places in the Gemara. Eved Melech Melech. This is a slave of a king. Is a mini king himself. But the same way, the Avodim and Shvachas and Ram Gamliel are on a higher level themselves. Okay. Amar Abulaza, my dichtiv, what does the pasuk mean? It says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Kein avarecha b'chayai, so I will bless you while I'm alive, b'shimcha esakafai, in your name I will lift up my hand. So what does that mean? The two parts of that pasuk refer to Kein avarecha b'chayai zu krishma, that refers to Shema, when the person makes the brachas on Shema, and says Shema, and Marsha points out, Chayai refers to Torah, and the Gemara tells us elsewhere that, in Menachas in particular, that Shema fulfills a person's minimum daily obligation of Limud HaTorah. So therefore, Chayai refers specifically to Shema, which is a Yid life, Torah is a Yid life, V'shimcha esakapa is utfila, and when it continues, I lift up my hands in your name, that refers to Davin and Shemin Esrei. In the olden days, by the way, they used to daven with their hands stretched out above them. You find in a number of places in Tanakh. Yeah, you find in a number of places in Tanakh. At the end of this week's parasha, for example, you have Moshe leaves Mitzrayim, daven from Makkah, says daven to the end of Makkah's Morad, by Yifres Kapov, by Yifres Kapov al Hashem. He spreads out his hands to Hashem.
But
later on,
the time.
Whenever, in general, when they daven, that was the usual practice. But nowadays, we don't do that because eventually the Goyim adopted it as a practice, and therefore we don't want to be like them. Okay. So there's the im oisakein, if a person does that, if a person does that, he says Shema and Shemona Esrei properly, all of our Kosev Omer, on him the Pasuk continues, the next Pasuk until him continues, Kama Chela Vadeshen Tispa Nafshi, it'll be like when my soul is satiated, is filled up with fat and with fatty ashes. In other words, it's a way of saying that he'll be satisfied with whatever he needs. Marsha points out also that chelev and deshen are two parts of the karbanos, so it means the person is considered as if he brought karbanos. Chelev, the bruning, the chelev on the mizbeach, and deshen, turumat deshen. V'loy oid eloshem neichol shnei olamim. Not only that, but such a person inherits both worlds, ha'olam hazeh v'ha'olam haba, shenema, because the end of that pasuk continues, the sifsei renon noit yahalal pi, lips of songs. Songs in the plural, meaning Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, my mouth will praise Hashem. So we see that a person who accomplishes what it says in the first pasuk, Kein Avarecha B'chai, B'shem Chai Tachapai, has a Renon Nois. He's able to praise Hashem in this world, Sifsei Renon Nois, lips of praises in the plural, Yahalalti. Renon Nois, the plural of Renona, which means singing, but it means two of them, so it means one in Olam Hazeh and one in Olam Haba. So now the Gemara is going to start a topic, so we'll start it now, and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, of things that the Chachamim would say after davening. Now you have, there's the six texts of Shemoneh Esrei, which the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up, and now later on, in the fourth paragraph, we're going to talk about that a person should not just be davening keva, he shouldn't just be davening by rote, the same words every day. He should be meaning, Oseh Tefillot Tachnunim. He should make it that his tefillah is a plea to Hashem. So therefore, so these Chachamim, these Amoroim that we're going to talk about, Tanoim and Amoroim that we're going to talk about, would add an extra thing at the end of their davening in order that it should be Tachnunim.
Renanus is...
No, Renanus is something else. Now we're talking about... Tachnunim means supplication, means right. Pleading with Hashem, from pleading with Hashem.
Okay.
So Rabbi Lazar Bosa did a sign flow, say Omahafi. When he finished Shemon Esrei, he would say as follows, Yirotin Malafanacha Hashem Alekenu, Shetashkin B'Purenu, that you should make dwell in Purenu. Rashi explains Purenu is like Purim, a girdle. In our girdle, in our loft, there should be. Marshal says also the word pur also Purya in Aramaic means a bed. So it means in our bed, meaning in our life, there should be Ava V'Achma Shalom B'Reyus. There should be friendship and friendship and brotherhood and peace and friendship. We said, in fact, Marashah says, this is why we say this phrase in Sheva Brachas, because we want that there should be the Purim. We want that in the marital bed of the Chasen and Kala, there should be these things. So he's davening that he should also have. The Sarber Gvuleinu B'Samidim, you should increase our border with Talmidim, in other words, that we should gain many more Talmidim and have like our borders of whom we're affecting in the world be expanded. You should make successful our end, that we should have a future and a hope. The Sosim Chalkenu Gan Eden, you should place our portion in Gan Eden. The Sakneinu B'Chover Tov, V'Yetzer Tov Ba'olamecha, fix us up in this world with good friends and with a Yetzer Tov, that we should have a desire to do good. In your world, v'nashkim, and we should wake up in the morning, v'nimta yichul l'vavenu l'yiras shmecha, we should find in the morning that our hearts are hoping and yearning to fear your name. In other words, Rashi says, we don't want that the Yetzer Hara should be overpowering us during the night with thoughts that will cause a person to go away from Hashem in the morning. Every morning we should find when we wake up that our hearts are yearning to be close to Hashem. And Marshal says a little differently. Also, Yichul also means trembling, so that we should have that. In other words, we should feel a fear of Hashem in the morning. The Sava Lachanecha Koras Nafshenu L'Tova, and our pleasure should what's needed to supply our needs and pleasure our neshamas should come before you for good. In other words, you should give us what we need in order to be able to have pleasure and be able to have comfort and be able to serve Hashem in this world. So that was Rabbi Elazar's tefillah. Rabbi Yochanan, Bosid of a time place, Yamahakir. Rabbi Yochanan, when he finished Shemon Esrei, would say as follows, Yirotin Mofanach Hashem Alekenu, Shetotis Bevashtenu, you should peek at our embarrassment. Totis Meloshin Hatsotza, it means like to peek at, like to look at. Look at our embarrassment, the Sabbath Berosenu, and look and gaze at, meaning pay attention to our evil. In other words, keep in mind, keep in front of you the bad things that are happening or are going to happen to us, and prevent them. A couple of them, Horshin talk about, Marshaw talks about, Flack talks about, and in various veins, that the boishes that we're talking about, we said the other day that it was boishes over here, it can mean one of two things. It can mean the person feels embarrassed of his averus, and we learned before that when a person is, at the end of the first paragraph, when a person is embarrassed of his averus, that itself causes that Hashem forgives him for them. So that's one thing of Tosfos of Hashenu. Second of all, Marshaw says it also means the humiliation that the goyim humiliate us. And the Flack adds, that's why it's in this order. First, look at our boishes. Realize that we're embarrassed of our averus. Therefore, besavit for dasenu. Therefore, now look at the evil that's happening to us and take that away. Because in other words, if Hashem looked at it the other way around, he would say, you know what, you deserve it. This is slavish
v'rachamecha. We're turning down human on its face, basically. They, no, it's because of our averus that you have to forgive us.
Sort of, yeah. We're saying because we're embarrassed of them in particular. This is slavish v'rachamecha. We ask Hashem, you should clothe yourself in your rachamim. This is skaseh v'uzecha, and cover yourself with your might, with your power. This is asif v'chassidusecha, wrap yourself with your chassidus, with your midah of chesed. This is azeh v'chanin v'secha, and gird yourself, like putting on a belt, so to speak, with your midah of chen, of giving a person even undeserved good. And there should come before you your middah of goodness and condescension that you're willing to that so to speak, like you condescend to deal with us on our level and help us out.
It's all very fine, but we say middah can get middah. We have to show these middahs.
That's fine, and that's part of it, I guess. He's davening to an Esri. He has these middahs, and he's also asking Hashem that he should use these middahs towards us.
He's advancing his embarrassment.
It means embarrassment of one meaning is embarrassment of averus. Another meaning is the embarrassment. Marshall says is embarrassment of the way the goyim are always humiliating us. In particular, actually, the Iyun Yaakov on Ein Yaakov says a very interesting point. He says that Rabbi Yechanan here is not the regular Rabbi Yechanan Shas Yamura. This is Rabbi Yechanan Ben Zakkai. In his times, the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed. Therefore, he has more reason than anybody else to be saying, Shatokis Mavashkenu, Hashem, look at our humiliation that the goyim destroyed our Beit
Hamikdash.
He says that. These last phrases, by the way, over here, this is Slavish Barachamecha, this is Kasabozecha, we have one of the Slichas, on one of the days of Slichas, we have one of the Piyotim ends with these phrases. So the Python took it from Agamar. Rav Zera Boston assigned place to Amar. When Rav Zera finished his Shemana Esrei, he would say as follows: Yirotam Lefanach Hashem Lekenu, Shalom Nechta, we should not do Averus, Vole Nevosh, we should not be embarrassed, Vole Nikolim, we shouldn't be humiliated, May Avesenu. Now, May Avesenu can either mean than our fathers, in other words, we shouldn't have to be more embarrassed than they were, or it can mean in front of our fathers. It can mean, in other words, that we should be able to stand in front of our others, in front of our ancestors, and not have to be embarrassed of what we did. Rav Chiya Bosa de Masri, Rav Chiya, after he died in Shemana Esrei,
Who were they embarrassed
on? No, in other words, we're saying, so one possibility. So it means May Abbasenu, it means more than our fathers. It means our ancestors. Not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, maybe, but our ancestors.
So there are no other ancestors, who said the others.
Fine. So then, according to that, it would mean that okay, there were times when there were times when they had difficult situations in their life. We shouldn't have more than that. But okay, Rav Chiya Bosa de Masli Omahachi. Rav Chiya after he davened would say as follows: Yirotin Mofanach Hashem Lakenu Shetei Terosho Menesenu. That Torah should be our constant occupation. Val Yidre Libenu Val Yechshuaynenu. Our hearts should not have to be pained, and our eyes should not have to be darkened. Now, there's the Lashon HaPasuk from Eicha. You have Al Zeh Yadav Libeinu, Al Eilach Hashkoinenu. For this, our hearts were pained and our eyes are darkened because Harkiya and the Beit Mikdash and the Harabayas are desolate. So he's asking. So his tefillah was that we shouldn't have to have that. The Beit Mikdash should be rebuilt. Okay, we'll continue with more of these tomorrow, Rav Hashem.